Hello, this is Angela Ewing with KCIW, Curry Coast Community Radio. Our topic today is our community orchestra, the Curry Del Norte Orchestra, and its upcoming Winter Series concert featuring Christy Dolan, our Brookings-based concert pianist, and our 30-member volunteer community orchestra directed by our own John Webster. The Winter Concert Series performances take place in three locations: December 3rd in Gold Beach, Crescent City on December 4th, and our Brookings on December 5th. Welcome, John and Christy.
Thank you.
Thank you.
John Webster, congratulations on your recent retirement as musical director at the Brookings Harbor High School. Tell us a little bit about yourself and what brought you to Brookings.
Well, you mentioned my retirement from Brookings Harbor High School. It's actually my second retirement. I moved here from Central California in Fresno in 2010, retiring from my work as a music teacher in the Fresno Unified School District for nearly 30 years, working at the middle school and high school and elementary level, teaching instrumental music. And after I arrived here in Brookings, beautiful Brookings, I discovered that maybe retirement wasn't the best idea, at least at that time in my life. So I was really grateful for the opportunity that came my way to once again teach at Azalea Middle School at the time, doing the choral and the band and the string program. It eventually evolved into working at the high school as well. So for the past 3 years, now I've been working at those two schools. I just retired again. Maybe it'll stick this time. I'm not sure. But just retired and handed my assignment over to a really wonderful qualified guy. His name is Nick Courtnage, and he's carrying on the program there. So good. I'm grateful for the opportunity I've had to work with the students here in the area, and I'm equally grateful for the chance of continuing on with my involvement in music with the Curry Del Norte Orchestra.
Wonderful. So I understand that you play an instrument yourself as well, in addition to conducting. What did you play, and how old were you when you began your music studies?
I'm a hornist. I play French horn. And I began my musical playing experience when I was, I think, in the fifth grade, first starting on cornet. And after a year or two, I moved over to French horn, was able to purchase a wonderful French horn at a very good price, and it's the instrument I still play, that very instrument. I've had it for, gosh, how old am I now? I guess I've had it for about 40 years now. I lie a lot.
It looks like a complicated instrument. Would you say that's true?
Well, it is a complicated and challenging instrument because of the way it's built. It can create a lot of notes that you're not expecting to create. A lot of surprises. So you have to be very careful with the instrument. But on the other hand, don't lose your confidence and go forward and play. I love the sound of the horn. Always have. And in spite of its challenges, it's a great joy to play.
Yes, and I love to hear it too. Now, Christy, I'm one of the lucky ones who's heard you play. Tell us about when you began your musical studies and what brought you to Brookings.
Well, I've played the piano all my life that I can remember. I guess I started around the age of five, but I quickly progressed, and by the time I was 13, I was doing concerts all over the place, and my first concert was done in Chicago. And I lived in Los Angeles, so I ended up going on a full scholarship to USC as a piano performance major. And during that time, kept performing and also teaching. I started teaching to help buy gasoline to get to USC. And it became a passion, something I really loved. So I taught for years in Southern California. And then when I met my current husband, we moved to the Midwest, and I continued. I built up another studio there, and I have so many award-winning students, and many of them have gone on to get their doctor's degrees and teach at universities and be concert pianists. So it's been a very warm and rewarding life. Now, we came to Brookings because we had a fire in 2007, and it wiped out my concert grand and my,
oh my
other
pianos.
Yeah, all three of my pianos. I had three of them, and I had all my music, all my recordings, everything I owned.
Yeah.
Yes, but my husband and I got free from it, and we got our kitties out, and I decided not to rebuild my studio there, but to retire. And I always wanted to live in Northern California, so we came to Brookings.
But you couldn't give up your music.
No, music is probably the greatest thing you can have going for you when you retire. There's endless opportunities to perform.
Yes, yes. Now, the concert that I remember you gave, and this, is it Clavinova?
Yes.
Am I saying that correctly?
You are.
Yes. So what is a Clavinova and why do you use it? Tell us a bit about that, because it's not a word that I'm familiar with.
Well, a Clavinova is a digital piano that is capable of recording 16 different tracks.
Wow.
And it has practically every musical sound ever known to man and every sound effect. And pianists who use acoustical instruments usually hate Clavinovas, and I was in that category until in the Midwest, a dealer introduced me to the Clavinova, and I put one in my studio, and I saw what happened to kids. They became inspired instantly because of the technology.
So that it does sort of produce an orchestra at the back
of
the piano?
Yes, you can make
kind of
all the orchestra sounds. The thing is, you have to stop thinking of it as a piano. It's not a piano, it's a digital instrument.
Yes. Yes.
But it's very inspiring, especially to young people.
Wow. And I have heard that, and it is a miracle how all these other things enhance what you do. So what about the featured soloist at the Winter Series concert? Tell us about the piece you'll be performing.
Well, I'll be playing the first movement of the Grieg Piano Concerto, which is the first concerto I ever became aware of. And for many people, it might be the first or the only concerto they know. Almost everyone in the audience will know the melody when they hear it. It's probably the most popular concerto ever written. And it was first recorded in 1909. It was the first piano concerto ever recorded. They cut it down to 6 minutes, although the entire piece is much longer than that.
When you're doing something, when you're performing something that's familiar, do you get a better response from the audience? You know, I was part of the Medford board for their orchestra, and I was trying to encourage them always to play familiar pieces because the ordinary person doesn't always... It's just not familiar sometimes when you go and you hear something. It's good, and I understand that you've got to be open to listening to different things. But it is nice to get familiar music people know and they want to, you know, they're with you. Do you find that to be true?
Absolutely. The audience responds much more positively when they've heard the piece before.
Yes.
Of course, pianists and musicians in general hesitate always playing familiar pieces because you also hear every mistake.
Oh, I never thought of that.
Yeah, if you play some dissonant concerto nobody's ever heard of, they don't know whether you're playing the right notes or not.
Oh, I never thought of it that way.
But it is. You get a better response when you do some things the audience likes. Everybody likes to hear things they've heard before.
Right, right. So, John, I understand you choose orchestral pieces according to themes.
Mm-hmm.
Can you tell us about that and the method of your madness?
Sure. Well, of course, the first thing I consider is make sure we have unfamiliar pieces so people don't know if we've made mistakes.
Great.
Following on Christy's theme. No,
great.
Seriously, there are a number of things that go into it. I try to select pieces that the audience will feel comfortable with. It may be familiar music. It may not. But generally, there will be tunes in there that they will be familiar with and feel comfortable. And then we broaden it out to pieces that they're maybe going to widen their horizon a tad. I also need to consider, since we are a community orchestra, what technical level is appropriate for the orchestra. We certainly couldn't launch into playing a Mahler symphony or something. We just simply don't have the forces nor the skills to do that. So generally the music we select is of a light classical genre. Some popular things we like to put in, movie themes sometimes.
Yes.
Themes from Broadway, that sort of thing. Some very excellent music is being composed these days by composers in Hollywood and New York and points beyond. So we're always looking for those sorts of things. I know at least sometime during the season, members of the board who are helping to promote the concert will ask me, what is the theme for this concert?
Yes.
And generally the theme is a potpourri. We really don't have a theme that we go with in my way of looking at it. We're looking for something that people will enjoy and the orchestra will enjoy as well.
So if it's Christmas, doesn't necessarily have to be all Christmas music. You're saying that it's what makes it different.
Sure.
For every ear.
For example, our winter concert this year is going to contain in the second half of the program a medley of traditional themes of Christmas carols and that sort of thing, as well as a medley of tunes from a more secular commercial area, maybe themes from music that are Christmas related and so forth. We're really excited to play another piece by Alfred Reed called Russian Christmas Music. Alfred Reed was an American composer who composed this piece in 1944, originally for a concert band. It debuted in Denver. The musicians were drawn from the five military bases in the area. As you know, military bases and units have their own bands and jazz bands and choral groups and so forth. So they combined to play this for their wind ensemble. And then in 1969, I believe, it was transcribed for orchestra and has become a very popular piece. When I announced to the orchestra, many of our members come from a band background. When I announced to them that we're going to play Russian Christmas music by Alfred Reed, they were very excited, and it's just a wonderful piece. It takes music from liturgy music from the Eastern Orthodox Church. It takes music from children's folk songs from Russia and so forth, and it's set so beautifully, and it has a wonderful, exciting ending, and I know the audience is really going to enjoy that.
Oh, I bet so. It does sound lovely. Now, what about the orchestra? How many members do you have, and how often do you practice? I understand you have students participating as well. Is that right?
Mm-hmm. Yeah, we number actually about 40 to 45 nowadays, depending on who's on maternity leave and so forth. But we meet Monday nights, practicing for about an hour and a half, with 10 or 11 rehearsals in preparation for the concert. We do have some students in our group, as well as adults from a lot of different walks of life. I think we have maybe four high school students in the orchestra at this point. We, as a part of our efforts with the orchestra, try to foster the growth of musicians, particularly string musicians.
Good.
In our preparatory orchestra. I'm really happy that we have a very vibrant string program here in Brookings. Students number about 50 at this point at the high school and middle school. Smith River has a string program, and of course we sponsor a prep string program at Crescent City. And on occasion, I'm thinking perhaps for this spring concert, we'll once again ask those students to come in and join our string section in playing one or two selections in our program.
Good. That sounds super. And Christy, you were president of the Curiedale Orchestra Guild. What's that organization all about and its mission?
Well, the guild was established to support and back up the orchestra. We raise funds for the orchestra so that we can operate and we prepare for the concerts and help with the programs and the publicity and all of the things that make a concert work.
Do they have to, do you have to organize a lot of fundraisers for that?
Well, we do. We do as many as we can.
It's kind of tricky, isn't it, doing fundraising and being a musician as well? It's almost like you've got to have a separate entity to do the fundraising, which I expect you do.
I have to rely upon the board members to do it, and they're terrific. They do the work for us.
Right. So the orchestra performs a spring series as well as the winter series. Are ticket sales enough to sustain your activities?
Ticket sales cover about half of what we need to function. And so we are always looking for and hoping for donations from the public to get us through the season.
Okay. So now you mentioned the Guild funds, the Youth Prep Orchestra. What about that? What age group does it service and how many members?
Well, that orchestra meets in Crescent City, and the students are pretty much junior high and high school age, and they are given an opportunity to learn a string instrument and a performance opportunity as a group.
So it's something that everybody who is in the youth program, this is an education in effect.
Yes, we're trying
to encourage them to belong to something more.
Right. We're trying to encourage people to learn the string instruments, and hopefully when they grow up, maybe they'll come back to this area and become part of our orchestra. That is our motivation, is to support it.
Of course. Well, the Brookings performance will take place this time on Monday evening, December 5th, at 7 p.m. at the Trinity Lutheran Church on 1200 Easy Street. And Christy, you'll perform the first movement of the Grieg Piano Concerto in A minor, and the orchestra will perform Elgar's Chanson de Nuit and Chanson Matin, Aaron Copland's Outdoor Overture, and, in the spirit of the holiday season, Alfred Reed's Russian Christmas music, which John was telling us about. No Christmas would be without Johannes Brahms' Jiju Saw Joy of Man's Desiring.
That would be J.S. Bach.
J.S. Bach.
Yes. Mm-hmm.
Okay.
Jesu, Joy of Man's Desiring.
Thank you.
Mm-hmm.
All right. Well, Christy Dolan, John Webster, it's been a pleasure talking to you. Thank you very much for coming to the studio.
Thank you.
Thank you.
I have one other thing.
Yes.
Just a plug here.
Yes.
We are always looking for musicians who may be interested in joining us, particularly string players. So anyone who is interested in joining with us, we have a Facebook site where we can be reached. I don't have that address with me, but if you just enter Curry Del Norte Orchestra on Facebook, you'll find us. Or come to our concerts and talk with us and see what we're all about. We're a community orchestra. There are no auditions, no pay, so you don't have to worry about any tax statements on your income. Isn't that wonderful?
Yes, it is.
So we'd love to have you join us. We have a lot of fun, and there's nothing greater than to join together with friends and commune with people like Bach and Copland and Mozart and so forth.
Well, I just want to reiterate the Gold Beach performance will take place on Saturday, December 3rd. At 7 p.m. at the Bethany Lutheran Church, located at 94150 5th Street, Gold Beach. The Crescent City performance will begin at 3 on Sunday, December 4th, at the Elk Valley Ranchera Large Community Center, located at 2332 Howland Hill Road. Tickets are $12 at the door, $10 in advance. Students are free, so that is good. You can purchase tickets in advance at Wright's Custom Framing in Brookings, Del Norte Office Supply in Crescent City, and Gold Beach Books. So thank you again for coming.
Thank you for having us.
This is Angela Ewing with KCIW, Curry Coast Community Radio. Thank you for listening.
Hello, folks. Bruce Ellis here from the Insider Report on behalf of KCIW Podcasting. I'm sure you all can appreciate Angela Ewing's excellent delivery and her interesting story. She serves KCIW as both director and producer on various projects in addition to her writing. One of her several projects is her novel presented as a serial in the grand tradition of the classic radio shows of the 30s, 40s, and 50s of the last century. KCIW is a nonprofit community radio station, and we need your help. If you have an idea for a show, if you want to be on air, if you have the time and inclination, we need sound editors, producers, and talents of all sorts. If you're not inclined to directly participate, you can always give us money, money, money that would be used to buy the equipment we need. We are a community radio station, your community radio station. We hope you're amble over to kciw.org and check us out. We've more than 50 podcasts with many more on the way. Please help us. Thank you and have a great day.